Rick Yancey joins me in the studio tonight. He's the author of a number of books. His New York Times bestselling trilogy includes The Fifth Wave, which has been adapted as a major motion picture, The Infinite Sea, and, hot off the presses, The Last Star, which we'll talk about tonight. Rick, I'm delighted to welcome you to Around Cincinnati.
Well, thank you, Barbara. It's great being here.
I know you have literally millions of fans, but for listeners who might be coming in belatedly, would you provide some of the backstory? So tell us about Cassie, if you would, and Bosch, and the others, and that's capital O, others, and some of these initial waves that are affecting the planet.
Right. Cassie Sullivan's a 16-year-old average American teenager near Dayton, Ohio, whose world is totally upended when a gigantic alien ship appears in the upper atmosphere. What ensues is five escalating waves of attack. The first attack involves knocking out all communications and electricity on the planet. The second attack is disruption of the fault lines that ring every continent, creating enormous earthquakes and tsunamis that basically destroy every major city. The third wave is a genetically engineered super bug, super plague, that wipes out about 97% of everyone who made it through the first two waves. I won't go too much more into what the fourth and fifth wave is because that kind of involves spoilers. It might ruin it for some readers, but the entire series is about humanity's struggle to not only remain alive, but to remain human in the face of literally overwhelming odds. Lots of bad guys, including Bosch, whom you mentioned, and a lot of really good guys. It is a series written for teenagers, but adults will enjoy it as well. There's universal themes of sacrifice and love and incredible courage and impossible odds.
Well, and always this choice between how do you survive but keep your ethics, your morals, your humanity, as you said. And that's a struggle for many of us who aren't faced with some terrible other.
Right.
But the other can be within us. I think that's a part of the...
Yeah, I think that's one of the major themes of the books is that it's not so much about them as it is about us and how once you rip away our ability to trust and cooperate with each other, humanity is pretty much a goner because that's what brought us to the point where we are in this stage of civilization is those two key components of trust and cooperation. Without them, everything collapses. And that's one of the hard lessons and one of the things that all the characters in the books struggle with on some level is, you know, how do I trust that this person is not my enemy? How do I trust that they are not an other who is out to destroy me?
You mentioned that Cassie's from Dayton and the last wave opens in Ohio, sort of the middle of the state. So how important was geography? Because part of the United States is going away, right?
Right, so. Exactly. Including my home state of Florida.
Right.
Yeah, part of it was just a nature of necessity in terms of the writing of the story in that if Cassie lived in Miami, she probably wouldn't be able to narrate the books.
One book series.
Right, exactly. So I knew that the story had to be wanted the story to take place in the middle part of the country because it would probably be the one that be most likely to withstand these waves of attacks and have characters still around to live out a story. So it was purely by necessity. But I also liked the idea of particularly this area of the country representing sort of the core American values mm-hmm. and always having the perception of being that, you know, so... Being able to set in Middle America was just a bonus for me.
What interests you most about writing about what I think is typically called a dystopian society? What attracts you to that?
I think it's the same thing that attracts everyone who gets attracted to it. I think one thing, on a very personal or visceral level, it appeals to us because we like to imagine ourselves that we could survive certain things or how we would react to certain events and how we would cope and able to put ourselves in the character's shoes and at least vicariously live out that sort of testing, if you will, of that scenario. I also think it appeals to younger people in the sense that they're entering a stage of their lives when it does feel a little apocalyptic. You're leaving high school, whether you're going on to college or entering the workforce or trade school or the military, whatever you're doing, it's not going to be anything like everything you've known before. So there is a sense of all things ending and the unknown staring you in the face. So I think in terms of metaphorically, apocalyptic or dystopian stories appeals to young people.
High school can be an interesting time.
And very dystopic.
So I'm wondering, is it in one sense fun to be able to do a do-over by rewriting one's high school career, reimagining it, or?
Oh, wow. I never thought of it that way. That's an interesting point. I don't know. I mean, sometimes I do feel like I have this, I don't know, I hate to, well, I guess you could call it a flaw where I'm overlaying my years of experience as an adult over, you know, a young person's perceptions and thoughts and feelings, sort of, you know, looking back and applying what I've learned to situations like that. But the basic grist for any young adult series or book is something that even adults understand. Love, fear, struggle with adversity. Those are universal things that we never stop struggling with.
Which leads me to the movie. Was that wonderful and exciting that this has another incarnation, so to speak?
It was. I mean, it was a bit of a surreal experience. You know, I've written 16 books now, and it was the first one that's been adapted to a film. And it was, at moments, it was extremely surreal seeing things that I had imagined 2 years before being actually filmed and portrayed. It's unusual in the sense that as a writer, you've lived with the story for quite some time through multiple revisions, multiple drafts, scenes that readers or no one will ever see that are in your head still. And then you watch the movie and it's impossible to watch it as just a moviegoer because as I sat there, I had every scene I'd ever written, plus their scenes that they had added to the story, all running in my head at once. So I know I wasn't able to view it completely objectively.
I do want to reference one of your other books. It's titled Confessions of a Tax Collector.
Yeah, yeah.
And from what I read, it really was a turning point in your life.
It did change practically everything about me and my life. When I entered the service, I was 28 years old, and I had worked on and off in the theater for years, writing and directing and some performance. And basically had very little to show for that. I was concerned about having a steady job and insurance and, I don't know, growing up maybe. So I entered the service pretty naive, had never worked a true like 9-to-5 job. And while I was there, it changed the way that I looked at myself. It changed the way I looked at our society. And it, you know, I met my wife there. So, you know, it totally transformed. And it gave me a lot of discipline. You know, I sometimes wonder if I would have gone on to actually have the discipline to become a novelist if I hadn't had a job like that, that taught you discipline and taught you many things about not only a work ethic, but also about human nature. That kind of job, you meet people on a daily basis who are many times at the very lowest part of their lives. Obviously, we're always going to have deadbeats and scofflaws among us. So, but there was, you know, many, many people that I encountered in my job were just on hard times and couldn't afford to pay their taxes. And in many, many situations, the most desperate point in their lives. And taxes were just a symptom, not the cause. And as a creative person, as a writer, you couldn't ask for a richer environment to really consider many things about our government, about our society, about our culture, about human nature, and what desperate things people are capable of when their backs are against a wall.
Well, it's so interesting to hear the story, connect the dots of how you got from there to here and these fascinating novels. Thanks so much for visiting with us tonight.
Oh, thank you, Barbara. It's been great.
I've been talking with Rick Yancey about the latest and last book in his trilogy that includes The Fifth Wave, The Infinite Sea, and The Last Star. You'll find more information at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.
I can't help but think about you in the middle of the night. I know it's kind of lonely, but you have to win this fight. I just wish that I could hold you. Tell you it's alright.